Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pei Tes. We're learning Le'ilui Nishmas Abram Yehuda Ben Yona Yehuda and also Devorah Bas Yisrael. All the Rishonim should learn for each other and Aliyah from our learning. We're beginning on Pei Tes Amud Aleph at the first two dots, about 7 lines from the top. And we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us, Ein Lo Ksuba, that the woman loses a Ksuba in the unfortunate situation that we were talking about in the Mishnah where the woman was mistold that her husband had passed away and she got married to somebody else, so she doesn't have a Ksuba. Not from her second husband, which is obvious because there is no marriage over there, but not even from her first husband. So when it says, "My time of Tachimelo Rabbanan Ksuba," why did the rabbi set up Ksuba? Now, this implies that it's the Rabbanan, so Tosus says that this is talking about a Ksuba Salmona, that it's the Rabbanan. Whereas the Ksuba Daraisa, the basic Ksuba of Ma'asan of 200 Zuz, is Daraisa. That's, in fact, one of the reasons why we mentioned the word Almona is Almona. She only gets a Mona. Anyway, there is a Machlokis, whether it's Daraisa or the Rabbanan. The bottom line is that whatever was set up for the ksuba, the purpose for that was Kadesh Lote Kala Be'inav Lotzia. It shouldn't be easy for the husband to divorce her. There's no financial disincentive, so the first time they get into a fight, they'll say, that's it, you're gone. So Rahman al-Litzlan, it could be very easy to divorce his wife. So therefore, the rabbi set up a ksuba. Well, it's going to be a financial penalty of significance if he divorces her, so he'll think twice about divorcing her for some Stamjan Irish guy. So therefore, this situation, Hote Kala Be'inav Lotzia, here we want them. We're going to insist that they get divorce because she never is considered a zona, and therefore they have to get divorced. So therefore, we want to make it as easy as possible for him to divorce her. So therefore, we remove any financial disincentive. Then we quote the Mishnah that said, "Ein la peros lo mazonas lo belos." She doesn't have all these other entitlements, if you wish. The peros would be to seek recompense if her husband had used the dowry that she brought in, the nichsi malug. So she might have a taina under certain circumstances to get back some of the money that he used. And the Loma Zonos, she's not entitled to be supported. And Lo Blos, even the Nichsei Tzon Baizel that she brought in, we discussed and explained what some of these terms were the other day, so I won't go through it again now. So even the Nichsei Tzon Baizel, which is guaranteed in the Ksuba, that she'll get back their value, and certainly if they're extant, she should get those back, so she's not entitled to that either. Why is that? So Gemara explains, Tanai Ksuba, Ksuba Dami, because these are all basically, in some way, shape, or form, considered part of the Ksuba, and as a result, their entitlements from the Ksuba, and since she doesn't have a Ksuba, she doesn't have any of these other entitlements as well. Then we quote the next piece of the Mishnah, Not lo mizeh o mizeh, if she did in fact take something from these either peros, mizonos, or blos, or the ksuba itself, so if she did take it from either the first or the second husband, she has to give it back. Someone says, Pshita, obviously she's not entitled to it, why should I have to give it back? Someone says, no, I might have had the impression, Ma'u detema, kivon detovsa, I might have thought that since she actually took it, lo mavkinamino, we don't take it away from her, so kamash v'lo, no, that we do. She's not entitled to it in any way, shape, or form, not even b'diavad, and therefore, even if she took it, we take it away from her. Then we said in the Mishnah, Havlad Mamzer, the child is a Mamzer, whether it's from the first husband or from the second husband. Now, the second husband is very simple to understand. That marriage never took place, and any children that she had with a man other than her husband are obviously going to be Mamzerin, even if it's unintentional, even if it's accidental. But the question is, how could the children from the first husband be considered mamzerim? Obviously, not the ones that she had previous to this entire situation. That never was the Havamina. But if she had children with her first husband after he comes back from the dead, he comes back and is now cleared to be alive, so she's still not allowed to live with him. And if she does live with him, those children are mamzerim. So the question will be, why is that so? They are married midaraisa. How could the children be mamzerim? Now, that will be the question, but we want to get to the answer to that question by learning the following Gemara. It's not Hassan. We learned in the Mishnah in Trumos. The Mishnah there tells us, Ein Tarmin min hatomei al hator. When a person takes his mafrish Trumos and maestros on his grain or other produce, so you're supposed to take it from produce that is tar. So the Mishnah is telling us, Ein Tarmin min hatomei al hator. You're not going to go and take tomei produce and use that to be mafrish your Trumos and maestros on tar produce. And if one in fact did that when they weren't supposed to, so it depends. Bishogeg, the Mishnah tells us, you did by accident, you didn't realize that it was Tame, so then Truma, so Truma. So then it's valid Truma. However, Vimezid, lo osav, lo klum. But if in fact you did it intentionally, on purpose, you said, I'm going to take this Tame produce and be using that to be mafreshed on the rest of the tar produce, so then in that situation, the Mishnah states you didn't do anything. Lo asa lo klum. What does it mean you didn't do anything? My lo asa lo klum. So we have two opinions. Omer Ruchis is the first opinion. He tells us lo asa lo klum. What does it mean? Lo asa lo klum kol ikar at all. You did nothing. That in fact, afilu hahi griva, even that measure that you took, declaring this tomei produce as the truma for the rest of the grain that is tahora. So in that situation, we say that even that truma that you took off, hadu l'tivle, goes back to being tevel, and it doesn't count as truma, even though you were mafresh it. That's how far Ruchisa goes to say, b'mezid lo osav lo klum means nothing. Even what you did is retracted, and it's not even considered truma. Whereas with Rav Oshia Omar, he says, lo osav lo klum, what does that mean? It means l'sakin es yishraim. It means that the produce that you try to be misakin is not yet mesukan. It remains tevel. But that truma that you took off, avo truma, heavy, that is in fact truma. But you got to take off new trumas again, because this truma, while it is truma, doesn't accomplish anything in terms of being matir, the tevel, to make the tevel into chulin. Now, why does each one not hold like the other one? So the Gemara says, Ruchista lo amayak Rav Nosson Rav Oshia. Ruchista doesn't say like Rav Nosson, the son of Rav Oshia. So he says, the e-amris heavy truma, because Ruchista says, if you follow what Rabbi Nosson, but Rabbi Oshaya said, so then you have to take Truma a second time. We have to be concerned that people aren't going to do that. Zimnim de Pasha, Velo Mafrish. The guy's going to say, listen, I took off Trumas once. I ain't taking off Truma again. Again, we're dealing here with a person who bemazed did something wrong. So there's an excellent chance that he's bemazed not going to take it off the second time. So Rav Chista says, in order not to be concerned about that, count it as if he didn't take off Truma at all. And therefore, we are going to say, in this situation, he has to just take truma once because the truma that he took doesn't count. So this will prevent this guy from saying, I'm not taking off truma the second time. And we'll see that this is a critical factor in trying to understand why in our Mishnah we say that the Vlad is a mamza from the first husband. So keep that in mind. We'll get to it momentarily. That's Rav Chista's Shita. And now we're going to question the Shita of Rav Chista before we get to say why Rav Nosson and Rav Yoshaya doesn't hold a Rav Chista. But right now, we're going to further discuss Rav Chista's Shita. So Gemara says, Maishna mehodit nan. Why is Rav Chista in our Mishnah saying it doesn't count at all? That truma that you did is totally null and void, and it's as if you never took off trumas and maisus at all. Why is that so? So it's different than the following Mishnah, which is also a Mishnah in Trumos, where it says, Hatorim Kishus, if somebody goes and is mafrish Trumos on his Kishos, it's usually translated as cucumbers, and it turns out, the Nin says, that which he separated for Truma is turning out to be Mora, it's very bitter. In other words, it's edible, but it's really not very good. Or Avatiach, or he separates watermelon or some other type of melons, and the Nin says Seruach, and it turns out that they were Seruach, they're spoiled. Now, the Lashon Rashi points out the nimzis means it was after the fact. You didn't know that at that time. So this is b'dieved. This is shogeg. And it says, truma, it does count as truma, v'yachzor v'yitrom. And you have to go back and take off trumas again. Now, in this Mishnah in Trumos, you see that even Reb Chista, if he's not disagreeing with that Mishnah, says, truma, it was truma, but then v'yachzor v'yitrom. We're not concerned that Zimnin the Pasha of Lomafresh is not going to do it a second time. So why, in our case, with the Tomei Hafrosha, do we say that we're concerned that he's not going to do it a second time? So where says the obvious teretz? Shogeg gamezit karamitz? Are you asking me a question from this Mishnah in Trumas that we just said about the kishos, the cucumbers and the avatiach, the watermelon? Then in that situation, that was a shogeg situation, as I pointed out. The Nim says is after the fact, b'dieved. He didn't know that at the time. Whereas in our case, he was bedavka, b'mezit, taking produce that was tummy and making it into Hafrosha's truma. So therefore, you can't ask me a question of shogeg to mezid. Shogeg lo vadi sura. In the case of shogeg, the guy's a nice guy. He's an innocent guy. He didn't do anything intentionally bad. So therefore, if you tell him to go take it a second time, he'll go and take it a second time. There's no problem. As opposed to mezid, in the situation where he was mafrish bedafka, truma that was tomei, so then mezid ko vadi sura. He did an iser. And therefore, you have to be concerned. Zimin the parsha of lo mafrish. He's not going to go do it a second time. He was over in Issa the first time, he's probably going to be over in Issa the second time. So therefore, you can't question the stira between these two Mishnahs. Why in the Mishnah with the cucumbers and the watermelon do we say Yachzav Yitrom? Whereas in our Mishnah with the Truma, that was Timea, where Chista says it's zero, and we don't make him be mafreshit a second time. We just say the first time is no good, so we'll only have to be mafreshit once. So I said, okay, so I'll show you. Shogeg or shogeg, we still have a problem. But Rami, shogeg or shogeg, even if they're both talking about shogeg, we have the following stira. Here, in the case of the Tomei produce, we said that if he did it by accident, so then, okay, bid the evid after the fact. He didn't do it on purpose, so therefore, we're not mafreshing a second time. That's shogeg. So how come by the case of the kishos and the avatiach, we said that he has to do it again? So Hasam Ktan Itrum of Yasav Yitrum. Why is there a stira between the two cases of Shogeg? So Mar says again, there's a reason for it. Hasam, in the case of the Kishus and the Avatiach, he's Shogeg Karv Lemeze. Yes, he did it by accident, but he should have checked. Tosafot says, how do you go check? You go and be mafresh a very small amount, and then you taste it. Or I thought, Lanias Dati, that you could go and eat it in a Achilas Aroi, and you're out in the field when you're picking it, so go and see that it's tasty, and therefore you can be mafresh good on good, and not be mafresh bad on good, saruach or mara on the good. So therefore, that case is Karv Lemezid, and that's why the rabbis said, go, that's truma, but yachsov yitrom. As the Gemara says, the boy lay limitame. He should have tasted it. He should have checked it out. Whereas in the case of the truma that was turned out to be tumeya produce, how is he supposed to know that? It was after the fact. There was no way to check it out. Okay. Gemara says, okay, so you've explained why shogeg amezit, we don't have a stira. And you explained even shogeg a shogeg is not a stira. But what about the following stira of a rabbi mezit amezit? We have a stira, Rav Chista, who said by the truma tumeya that it's null and void. It doesn't count at all. And you have to go be mafresh again because the first one is not mafresh at all. But from the following mezit, we see differently. What is this case? In our Mishnah with the Truma Tmeya, we said, as if he did nothing. But Hasam Tanan, this is a Mishnah in Demai, and this Mishnah in Demai tells us, Hatorim Misha Eino Nokuv, if you go and take Hafreshes Truma from a flower pot that doesn't have a perforation in it, it doesn't have a Nekev in it. A Nekev, a flower pot that is Eino Nokuv, means that it's not halachically midoraisa obligating Truma Samai. So it's midorabbanan, the rabbi said you should. There's no perforation in it, so it doesn't have any connection to the ground, and therefore, midoraisa is not chayiv in Truma Samaisus. So if you take from this flower pot that doesn't have a nekev in it, so it's not chayiv midoraisa, al nokov on a flower pot that does have a perforation in it, and therefore it is chayiv midoraisa, so this is being torim from what we call eino mechuyiv on mechuyiv, minapotur alachiyuv, so then in this situation, hatorim misheino nokov al nokov, truma, it does count as truma, but we make it go and do it again, v'yachsav yitrom. Now, this is a situation of mezid. So how come in this situation of mezid we say yachzov yitrom, but in the case of mezid by the truma tumeya, Rav Chisa said you just declare it null and void and you make him be mafresh it again. But we don't say truma v'yachzov yitrom. We just say yachzov yitrom. You have to take it again because the first one wasn't good. But here in the perforation case, we say that the first one is good. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference between the two cases. With the perforation, you have two separate pots. You have a pot, a utensil, she'eino nakuv, and you have a utensil that is nakuv. So betray money tzayis. When you're dealing over here with two different utensils, the person will understand, yes, this one was no good. So yes, it is considered truma, but I don't have anything taken off from the other pot, the pot that is nakuv, and therefore he'll understand that he has to go and take it again. Whereas in the case of the truma, there was tameya in that situation. The produce they was using was tameya. It was all mixed in together. And therefore, when he's taking it off, it's not two separate pots. Bechadmon alotzayis. He's not going to listen to us when it's dealing with one pot. So therefore, we've answered all the questions on Rav Chisda as to why there seems these contradictions between the Mishnayis. We had the case of Shogeg Amezid, then we had the case of Shogeg Ashogeg, and now we have the case of Mezid Amezid. All of them have answered up. So that explains why Rav Chisda says his shita. And we explained already before why he doesn't hold like Rav Nosson Rav Oshaya. Now the Gemara asks, well, Rav Nosson Rav Oshaya, the Amar lo wasav lo klum, meaning l'sakin shirayim. It means that what he did was good. However, avol truma heve, it counted as truma, but it just didn't fix it. You have to be chozev v'torim again. And we turn to pei tes omid beis, maishno amehod etnan. Why is it any different than the following scenario, which you learn in the Mishnah, also in Demai? That we had the ratio of this Mishnah beforehand, and now this is the same for that Mishnah. It says, min ha-nokuv al-she'en ha-nokuv, but the other way around. If you took from the flower pot that was nokuv, that's a chiyuv, al-she'en ha-nokuv, then only a chiyuv midirabanon. So we say, truma so truma. It does count as truma. However, that which you took from the flower pot that was nokuv, so it really wasn't needed to be taken on the flower pot, she'en ha-nokuv, midirabanon. It's needed, but not midaraisa. And therefore, the truma that you took off from it counts as being truma, midirabanon. However, below teyocha, you're not allowed to eat from that truma, achiyotzi ala truma, umaisa mimokamacha. But you have to take a truma umaisa off it from someplace else, because on a deraisa level, it still is tevel. It's only on a derabanon level that it functions over here to take off the obligation from the eno nokuv pot. But this is a stira, because here we're saying by the Tamei Truma, the produce that was Tamei that he designated as Truma, he didn't say you have to go and take it off again. You can eat it right away. Whereas here we said Truma so Truma, but lo tiyachal, she also let Truma ma'isim yomakum acher. So how come there's a difference between these two cases? So Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Shaini hacha, the midaraisa, Truma ma'ayisahi, Rabbi Eloi, because in the case of the truma that was Tameya, the produce was Tameya, and you were mafrish that to be truma on other produce that was Tahora, in that situation, mid the Araisa, according to Rabbi Eloi, that is perfectly valid. Well, mid the Rabbanim, we said don't take from Tameya onto Tahar, but mid the Araisa, if you did take from Tameya onto Tahora, it is valid. That's what Rabbi Eloi said. I'm Rabbi Eloi. If you take from the bed onto good, in other words, from Tveya onto Tahoro, or any other example of bed onto good, so you shouldn't do that. Midi Rabbani, you shouldn't do that. But Shetrumasa Truma Midi Raisa. How do we know that? He brings the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, Velo Sisu Alav Chay, don't do a sin, the Harim Chem Eschabu Mimenu, when you go take off the Truma. In other words, don't separate Ra onto Tova, onto Yofeh. You should do Yofeh onto Yofeh. If you do it the other way, you're going to be over a sin. Now, what does it mean if you're over a sin? Dim'ein kadosh, nisiyus chet lama. If this didn't work, then you wouldn't be over a sin. So obviously, we say that mid araisa hatorim in aro al yopi, it does work. Mid rabbanim, we said, don't do that. So therefore, trumaso truma. So therefore, in the situation of our Mishnah, where you were tore the produce that was tame on the produce that was tar, so it worked. So therefore, Chazal just counseled you and said, you have to go and do it again, according to Rav Nosson Rav Oshaya. However, in the case of the truma that was taken from the Nokov, al she'eno Nokov, in that situation, midaraisa, there's nothing happening. Mikan, letorim, in a raw, yofish, also truma only works in a case where there was fulfillment of the daraisa. But in the case of the Nokov, al she'eno Nokov, there is no fulfillment of the daraisa. And therefore, that's why you can't eat it yet, because it still is tevel midaraisa until you go take off Shumus of Isis from it, mimokum acher. Okay, so now we understand Rav Chis's opinion, and we understand Rav Nosson Rav Oshaya's opinion. Gemara now is going to ask a series of questions on Rav Chis's opinion from Rabbah. And every time Rav Chis is going to answer it, every time he's going to be slugged up by Rabbah, and ultimately, after the rest of today's shir and most of tomorrow's shir, we're going to come to the conclusion that Rabbah's question on Rav Chis has no answer to it. Now, what is Rabbah asking? First, he starts off and he says, Amalei Rabbah, Rav Chisda. Rabbah says, Rav Chisda, Lidi Doch, according to your opinion, Rav Chisda, that you're saying that the Hafrasha that was done is null and void, and it doesn't count, and you have to redo the Hafrasha, because the first time, it's null and void. It's as if you never will not appreciate it. It's still pure Tevel. So, Lidi Doch, Rabbah says to Rav Chisda, the Abbas Law also Loklum, Kol Iker, it means zilch, Dafilu, how griva, even that measure that you did, Hodur Latively, is returned back to being Tevel. My timer, why? It's a gzeira duma posha velo mafrish. As you said yourself, you're concerned that if we said that it's good, no, you have to go be mafrish a second time. You said you're concerned that the guy won't be mafrish a second time. So here's the question that Rabbi has to Rav Chisda. Me, ika, midi, is there ever such a thing? The midaraisa avi truma. This is 100% valid midaraisa, as we just pointed out from Rabbi Loi, that technically, if you're mafrish min aro ala yofi, it does work midaraisa. So you're telling me this works on a daraisa level? Is there such a thing that works on a daraisa level? Mishum dilma pasha, and because of this, the rabbanon concern that the guy's not going to be mafrish the second time, afkua rabbanon lechulin, that we remove this working on a daraisa level to say that it doesn't work at all? Where do we find such a thing? Basically has said that we're uprooting something from the Torah. This produce, which was been made midaraisa into good truma, albeit you shouldn't have done so, but you did so. Where do we find, Rabbi says to Rav Chisda, a case that you're allowed to go and oker, uproot a din daraisa? That's the question that Rabbi is asking Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda gave multiple attempts to answer this. None of them are going to actually work out. And as I said, we're going to conclude with the Gemara that Rav Chisda really doesn't have a teretz to Rabbi's question. So Rav Chisda starts and he says, Amalei, Batlo Tizra, do you disagree with me? You don't hold that the rabbis have the right to be oker this din min haTorah? I'll show you what. None. Our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? Havlad mamzer mizeh umizeh. If the woman got married based upon the testimony of an Eidechad, so the children are a mamzer from the second husband and from the first husband. So the second husband, no problem. Bishlama misheni mamzer. We know why the child Nebuch is a mamzer from the second husband, because the first husband was still alive and that marriage had never been gone. So therefore, the woman Nebuch committed adultery. Again, not in a pejorative fashion. We're not blaming her necessarily. She wasn't daikominsava enough, but she's not a bad person. But at the same time, she had a child through an extramarital relationship because her husband was still alive. So you have a child's mamzer. No clash at all. Bishlama b'sheni mamzer, we understand. Elami rishon amai. How could a child that she has with her first husband after he comes back and we see that he's alive, how could such a child be a mamzer? Ishtohi. On a deraisa level, they're still married. Bishlom ayu. And there was no reason that this child should be a mamzer if they had more children. Vikosharina lebe mamzeras. But now that you're saying this child is a mamzer, you're basically being mater in Issa Daraisa. Normally, a regular Yisrael can't marry a mamzeres, but he is saying this boy that's born is allowed to go marry a mamzeres. So you're being oker in Issa in the Torah. Oh, here's where you see that the Rabbanan have the right to be oker a din in the Torah. That's where Chista tells Rabbah. Rabbah says, nothing doing. Amalei, hachei mishvul. No. When our Mishnah said that this child is a mamzer, it didn't mean that he's allowed to be marrying a mamzeres. Both Shmuel and Ravin in the name of Yochanan said that yes, we call the child a mamzer, but he's still not allowed to marry a mamzeres. So we're not okra did in the Torah that normally prohibits the Yisrael from marrying a mamzeres, and you're saying this guy can marry a mamzeres even though he's a regular Yisrael, not a mamzer. No, it's usur for him to marry the mamzeres. Either what's the whole point over here? They're calling him a mamzer, but my call him mamzer. That's the add on a knas over here, as Rashi says. Dira maskal also vavas yisrael. It's only a knas that we're saying that he can't even marry a regular Yiddish woman. So therefore, that's what it means when he says that he's the Vlad is a mamzer, not that he's allowed to marry a mamzeres. No, so we're not oker a din in the Torah. So Rav Chisa's first attempt to answer Rabba is rejected. He tries again. Shalach like Rav Chisa l'Rabba. Rav Chisa sends to Rabba via Biyad Rav Acha by Rav Huna, in the hands of Rav Acha by Rav Huna, the following answer. He says, are you telling me they based in Masa Lako Dover Natora? Do you really tell me that based is not allowed to do this? I'll show you that they can from the following brayse. Vatanya. Learning the following brayse. We know that Chazal gave the power to the mother or the older siblings of a child that Nebuch the father died, and they can't afford this girl, so they allow them to marry her off when she's a ketana. So at what point is she considered fully married to her husband, that the husband would yorish her, rachmona litzlan, if she died? If you had this din derabanan marriage over here, via the mother or the older brother, that married off this ketana, and we say that she's married, she can leave that marriage via miyun, just by objecting to it before she reaches the age of godless, but at what point in time do we say that this husband is considered her husband to inherit her? So we have three opinions. The first one is Bishamai. Bishamai Yomrim, Mishitamo Bikomoso. Rashi explains this mean, when she reaches the age of maturity, physical maturity, Bishonim, with years, as well as physiological. So at that point in time, she is considered able to be inherited by her husband. If she, Rachmon al-Islam, dies, so there's no more potential for miyun, and therefore she's a full-fledged wife to the husband, and the husband inherits her, rather than her father. When she just goes into the chuppah, even though she's still not yet of the age of physical or chronological maturity, just when they have chuppah, that's when the husband is going to inherit her, if she, Rachman al-Islam, dies, because the likelihood of her doing miyun after she entered into the chuppah is very low. Rabbi Eliezer gives a third opinion. Lezer Omer, Misha Tiboyel. If that he had relations, so at that point in time, we don't say that she's going to do miyun, and therefore, from that point in time, the husband can go and inherit her. So in all of these situations, Beishabai, Beisillel, and Rabbi Eliezer, at that point that they each respectively say, the Yorusha, the husband will inherit her, Umatami lo, if he's a Kohen, he's allowed to be Matami to her if she dies, Nebuch, and Vocheles Begino Truma. And the wife is allowed to go and eat Truma based upon the fact that she's now the wife of a Kohen. Now, that is what Rav Chista is responding to Rabbah. Now, in order for us to understand how this is a response to Rabbah, we have to understand these three shittos a little bit better. So the Gemara tells us, when we said the Beishamai Omer Mishitamo Bekomoso, is that Afal Gav the little Nicholas of the Chuppah? Does Beishamai hold that even if she hasn't entered the Chuppah, but just from the fact that she's reached physiological maturity and chronological maturity, that's when the husband is considered inheriting her, even if she's not yet in Chuppah? As Rashi points out, that can't be, because for Kaimelah, we learned in the Gemara on Daf Chav Tes, in our Masechta, Afilu Begidola, Ishto Arusa, La Onen, Velo Mitamila, and Mesa and Yarsha. We learned that if the woman is only an Arusa, so then none of these dinim apply, and the husband wouldn't inherit her. So obviously, Beis Shammai can't be talking about where she hadn't yet gone into chuppah, but she just had physiological and chronological maturity. So what says Yataka right? Ema, what is Beis Shammai shita mishitamo bikomasa, when she has a physiological and chronological maturity, and vitikones l'chuppah, and she also had chuppah. And that's why, b'holchi kamrulei Beis Shammai b'sil, Beis Shammai said b'sil, that which you said, the kamrisu mishitkanis l'chuppah, we agree with you that she has to go into the chuppah, but it also depends on chronological and physiological maturity. If she's reached the chronological and physiological maturity, then the chuppah helps, mahani l'chuppah. But if not, below, l'mahani l'chuppah. If she hasn't reached chronological and physiological maturity, then the fact that she's also had chuppah is irrelevant. So that's the source of the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Now, Rebbe Eliezer omer mishita boil, the Gemara says, Rebbe Eliezer shita, how do we understand that? It seems to say that just having relations with her is enough to make her his full wife. But she's a ketana. V'homer Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer himself was the one that said, "Eimai ketana klom," that these actions of the ketana have no halachic significance. So what in the world is Rabbi Eliezer shita? Gemara says, you're right. You have to understand Rabbi Eliezer is not only that she had relations, but she had relations when she was a gedola. Eimai mishitakdil, she grew up, v'tibol, and only then did she have relations. Oh, that's when the husband inherits her, but not before then. Great, now we understand the three shitos, and now we can understand where Ruchista is responding to Rabbah. Are you telling me that we don't have the power of the Chachamim to be Oker Daraisa? Look at this, Ruchista says, K'toni Mias Yarsha. We said that according to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, the husband is Yorish's wife. Now, V'ahacha, in this situation, where the marriage is not Daraisa yet, it's only Midarabanan, V'ahacha, the Midaraisa Avua Yarisla. In this situation, the father, Midaraisa, is the one to inherit her because she's not yet fully married. And therefore, Umidirabanan, you're saying the Rabbanan, we're okay that din Daraisa, and Yaris Labal. And in fact, we're allowing the husband to inherit her. So you see that the Chachamim, Rav Chisda, tells Rabbah, the Chachamim do have the power to uproot a din Daraisa. Midaraisa, the father, should inherit her. And the rabbis uprooted that and said the husband will inherit her. Oh, that's Rav Chisda's answer to Rabbah. Rabbah says, not a good answer. Because the only reason over here why the rabbis have the power to do this is not because they have the right to be Oker Adin, but because Hefker based in Hoya Hefker, because the rabbis have total control over saying what belongs to who. And therefore, they're saying in this situation, yes, Midaraisa, the husband inherits her, but we're taking it away from him. And the basin has the power to say Hefker basin Hefker, and therefore we're giving it to the husband, taking it away from the father. Where do we see they have this power? The Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin Shefker basin Hoya Hefker. Where do we see that the basin has the power to go and take property away from Reuven and give it to Shimon? So we have two possible sources. The first one is Rabbi Yitzchak. He says, the pasuk should be V'chol asher lo yavo l'shoshes yomim katzas asorim v'askenim. When Ezra was bringing up the people to Eretz Yisrael from Golus Babel, so a lot of them were married to Shiksas, unfortunately. So he told them, you got 3 days to get rid of your Shiksas, otherwise, Yoharam Kol Rechusho, or your property will be taken away from you, V'yibadel Mikala Gola, and you'll be separated from the rest of the congregation that's returning, Mikala Gola. So therefore, you see that the basin had the power, Hefker basin, Hayu Hefker. That's source number one, Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Lozer gives us a second source. Rabbi Lozer Amam Yochi says, from the following, when we divided up the Nachala, entering into Eretz Yisrael, it says, Eila Necholos Asher Nachalu Nichalu El Lozer HaKoyim Yeshua Ben Nun V'Roshei Ha'Avos. This expression, Roshei Ha'Avos, L'matzos B'nei Yisrael, Roshei Ha'Avos, we have to explain what that means. That will be the answer that we see that Basin has the power to be Oker something from one person to another person, but the basin doesn't. You can't learn from here. Rabbi tells Ruchista the basin has the right to be Oker Dovrim in the Torah. What is this pasuk? So we said the words Roshei Ha'avos are strange. V'chibah inyan Roshim Eitz Ha'avos. That seems to be a strange usage of those two phrases. It's two separate things, Roshim and Avos. So Gemara says, Elam Olochot teach us Ma Avos Manchilim B'nei'en Kol Mashiyirtzu. Just like a father is allowed to give his children whatever he wants to divide up his Yerusha, he can divide it up. There are ways to halachically do so, so to Afroshim, so to the leadership, the Nisim, Machilim, the Beisdin, Machilim, that's all Kol Mashiyirtzu. So they can go and break up the property, the Yerushas of Eretz Yisrael, any way they want to. Oh, Hefker, Beisdin, Hoyer, Hefker. So, again, we understand why this principle Hefker Beisdin works, and now we understand why Rabbah slugs up Rav Chisda's Teretz, trying to use this as an example of how Beisdin can be Oker Dover Shabbat Torah. Rav Chisda tries again, and he says, but our Braisa, we just learned, said, Umatame law, in this situation, if the husband is a Kohen, he's allowed to be Matame to his wife, the Ketana. The Ha-Ha-Ha-Ha-Mid-Raisa via Matame law. In this situation, he's not allowed to be Matame to this girl, he's a Kohen. if she was a bas kohen, her father's allowed to be mitami to her. That's one of the zayin krovim. But here, she's not yet his wife. And yet, umid rabban and mitami lo ba, we're allowing the husband, the kohen, to be mitami to his wife. You're uprooting a din daraisa that this man is not allowed to be mitami to this woman. And you're saying it's okay to do so. Oh, you're uprooting a din daraisa. So again, that's what Rav Chisda tells Rabba, and Rabba tells him back, not a good teretz. The only reason why you're allowed to do this over here is mishum dahavi law meis mitzvah. The only reason why the husband could go be mitami to his wife is because she's a meis mitzvah. She's not because of the zayin krovim, it's because nobody else will bury her. So Rav Chisda questions, he says, what do you mean nobody else will bury her? Well, me have a meis mitzvah. But Tanya, ezu meis mitzvah, kol she'en lo krovim. Nobody will bury her. Korei v'achem onim oso, ain't the meis mitzvah. But if you call and other people will answer, that's not called the meis mitzvah. This girl has a father, she has brothers, she has family. So even if the husband doesn't bury her, she's not going to be a meis mitzvah. All those other people will bury her. So what do you say to that, Rabba? So Rabba says, no, hochanami, this is called the meis mitzvah, kivin de lo yarsila, because they're not going to inherit her. We said that the husband's inheriting her, so the father's no longer inheriting her. So they say, listen, I'm not inheriting her, you're inheriting her, you go bury her. Now, if he's not allowed to go bury her because he's a kohen and she's not his wife, so she still is a meis mitzvah because the parents aren't going to bury her. They're saying, you husband, you bury her. And therefore, karya v'lo anula. It's as if she called out, bury me, and nobody answered. So that's why it's a meis mitzvah. But you can't bring me a raya. Rabbi tells Rav Chisda that from here we see that chachamim have the power to be okay, dover min haTorah. Just we'll start Sadi Amud Aleph with the last part of that sugya. We're still not going to get to the end of the full sugya, but Rabba again had asked Rav Chisda, show me where you see that Beis Din has the power to be uprooting a din in the Torah, and Rav Chisda had given us several examples, and the last one was Vochelis Begino Truma, that this husband is entitling his Kitana wife to go and eat Truma. Now how could that possibly be? It's Oker Dovim in the Torah that this woman who's not a Kohenes, not a Bas Kohen, not yet the wife of a Kohen, how could she eat Truma? So it must be that Beis Din has the power to be Oker Dovim in the Torah. So Rav argues the obvious teretz that Rabbah will say to here to Rav Chisda, no, there's no proof here that they're okay davar in the Torah, because the only truma she's allowed to eat, when it says v'ochel is begino truma, is b'truma de rabbanon. Hey mamu v'hey mamu. The rabbi said this is truma. The rabbi said in this situation we're allowing this wife of the Kohen to go and eat truma, even though she's not a full-fledged wife. So again, all of these scenarios that Rav Chisda has given to us, Rabbah has schlugged up, and we're still left with the question. Rabbah asks Rav Chisda, where do we see in the Torah that Beis Din has the right to be oker, a dover daraisa, a dover min haTorah? Where does Beis Din have that koyach? So we don't come to an answer today, but this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.